Welcome to the Our Stories podcast, where we explore the stories of healthcare providers in the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology at Emory University. I'm Caroline Peacock, Manager of Spiritual Health at Winship Cancer Institute and Vice Chair of Wellness for the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology. Today, I'm really excited because we have with us Danny Casborn, who is the Associate Chief of Advanced Practice at Winship, and she's a nurse practitioner who's been with our system for about 13 years. Danny, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So I'd like to start by just asking you a little bit about what drew you into the field of medicine.
Oh, gosh. It's a little bit strange. There's really nobody in the medical field in my family. I was a senior in high school going to talk to the guidance counselor because I had gotten in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And while I was waiting for my turn, there was a rack with brochures on it. I picked one up. It was burgundy with beautiful gold lettering. And I thought, Mount Carmel School of Nursing. It's close by. It's run by the church. My mom will like that. I think I'm going to apply. I could do that.
Wow. So it was kind of just chance in a way.
I like to call it divine providence.
Uh-huh.
Because I had zero interest in healthcare at all. And that brochure was just front and center, and I picked it up, and I thought, I could do that. I could be a nurse.
And then I imagine that once you went to nursing school, there was something that really grabbed you, or else you wouldn't have stayed in the field.
Absolutely. It was – I won't say it was love at first sight. I enjoyed the interactions with my classmates and the patients. The schoolwork was really hard and challenging, but I just loved interacting with different people and getting to know people at, you know, some of their most vulnerable times and feeling that I could be an advocate for them and actually make a difference in how they were doing at that certain part of their life.
I imagine when you're in nursing school, you do a few different rotations. Was there a particular rotation that really called to you while you were in that process?
So I was really drawn to critical care.
Uh-huh.
I liked the fast pace and the challenge and managing, you know, minute-to-minute changes in the patients. But I also liked, in that setting, being able to be there with the other family members and talking to them, being an advocate for them with the whole healthcare team, and just being able to lend an ear or hold a hand and kind of, you know, just be there in their time of need, in addition to all the, you know, fast-paced kind of task that we did.
Yeah, a lot of technical pieces that you need to know very well, I imagine, in critical care. And then the heart pieces of, you know, getting to know people and care for them.
Yeah.
So if I'm recalling correctly, you did some work in critical care first before moving into oncology. Is that right?
Yeah. So my initial jobs right out of nursing school were newborn ICU.
Uh-huh.
The little preemies were really just my first little love. So tiny and cute, very sick. But again, there was the opportunity to advocate for the tiny little patient and then being able to be there for family members. And then after I did that for a while, I thought, oh, I'm really losing my adult skills.
Mm-hmm.
So I got an additional job in the emergency department at a local hospital. And again, very fast pace, but being able to be with patients and their families at their best and most anxious times. At some point, starting a family, moving for my husband's career and things, we ended up in a small town in central Ohio. I went to work with the small hospital there in the ICU and was really just kind of wanting to do something different and was introduced to the woman. She was actually a nurse that started the hospice that was based in that town. And that was really kind of my first interaction with oncology patients in a per se, in a specialty area. But I ended up doing home hospice with that group for several years. It was inpatient care, and I really loved that patient population. It was very, it's going to sound strange, it was very uplifting to work with them. And to help them wherever they were on their journey, even, you know, with the whole hospice piece, they were doing a whole lot of living in the time that they had. And we had patients that, you know, I saw several times a week for months. So it was really nice to develop that relationship with them.
Now, was this before you became a nurse practitioner?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, but then you ended up moving into becoming a nurse practitioner. So I'm curious a little bit about that, transition. What drew you into that path?
Again, happenstance. I was working in the private sector, done emergency medicine and urgent care, and I thought, I really want to go back to an academic setting. I went to school here at Emory for my master's degree, and I thought, well, I'm going to see what they have available at Emory. So I just started looking on the job postings, and I saw, oh, they're looking for a nurse practitioner at Winship. That's where they see the oncology. That's the oncology practice. I'm just going to apply there. And see if I can get a job. I came in and interviewed and have been here ever since.
And this work is so different from neonatology and, and emergency medicine. Tell me, what is it that you like about this work?
I think... Well, first of all, I work with a fantastic group of nurses, nurse practitioners, PAs, physicians, everybody at Winship. That was one thing I noticed when I first came to work here was everybody was very engaging, very supportive, and I felt like I was taken care of and part of the team from the beginning. And that feeling of family has kept me here all this time, even when the work is hard. So that's a very important part of it. And then just the patients and the families themselves, they're just very appreciative, very engaging. They want to talk about not only what they're going through in their cancer, but they're so willing to share their entire life, their experiences. I've had the privilege of caring for patients for almost the whole time I've been here, the same patients.
Oh my goodness.
And you get to know their family mm-hmm. and their daughters and son-in-laws and their husbands and friends and what's going on in their life. So not only are you caring for them physically, but you get the opportunity to interact with them on a personal level that involves friendship, mm-hmm. Spiritual things, talk about shopping, yeah. or just all kinds of things. And a lot of the visits are, you may just talk a tiny little bit about their health mm-hmm. and what's going on with them, and more about what's going on in their life
yeah.
and what they're able to do and some of the things they're missing, but how they're living.
So it sounds like for you, really valuing the relationship that you have with patients and with their families, that's a real key part of your practice.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. That, the technical medical piece of it, the medicine, the words, the diagnoses are all, they're a part of it. But mm-hmm. sometimes that becomes almost secondary to the relationship that you have mm-hmm. with people.
Well, I'm so glad that people have such a caring practitioner with them along these journeys, and a person in leadership, because I imagine you're able to teach other people who are growing in their practice of either being a nurse practitioner or physician assistant. And so I'd like to ask you, because you're the first person from the APP team mm-hmm. that we're interviewing for this podcast, what do you think is the most valuable thing about the role of APPs within our system? And obviously there are so many valuable things, but what sticks out to you that makes you unique?
I think we bring a different perspective to the healthcare team.
Okay.
We look at the patient in similar ways that our physician colleagues do, but we have the luxury of a little more time and flexibility to get into the social aspects of what's going on with the patient. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the patients and their family members may not be comfortable sharing something specific with their doctor mm-hmm. that they're more willing to share with their nurse practitioner or their physician's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really depends on the patient. Mm-hmm. But I think just the difference in knowing that there is a whole team mm-hmm. instead of just this doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing can be said with our nurses that are mm-hmm. part of our team. It's just a different level of comfort that the mm-hmm. patient may have mm-hmm. sharing both physical and psychological things. Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like having the different people in the various roles mm-hmm. contributes to the whole person health of the patient,
yeah.
that you have so many different people looking out for different aspects
yeah.
of caring for that patient.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes they're just not willing to ask certain questions of a title,
uh-huh.
no matter what that title is. Uh-huh. So it gives them the opportunity to have a team of people caring for them.
Well, that's really wonderful.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'm wondering about for you in particular is, given that now you're working in the field of oncology, often I imagine you're engaged in conversations that are hard with patients, goals of care conversations, hospice related conversations. How do you know that you're doing your job well when you're doing that work?
So I was exposed to difficult conversations and the concept of death and dying very early growing up as a child, that my mom just presented that this is a natural part of life and everybody goes through it. And then working in emergency medicine and ICUs, you are there at the bedside when these very traumatic things are happening, as well as oncology. So I feel that I know I'm doing what I need to do in the situations. I try to meet the patient and family where they are, ask questions, let them ask questions. I do my best to be very honest with regard to the medical piece of it, but also very encouraging with what they feel and what their goal is right now. Try to find out what that goal is and help them reach that, whether it's what I feel is best for them or not. So it's getting the patient and the family to clearly understand what their goals are, and then myself meeting them there, providing them factual information as well as emotional support in respecting what their decision is, regardless of it's what I would choose for myself or my family member. I think that's been, that's very key in that situation.
Sounds like respecting the patient's perspective and their hopes and dreams.
That's
really helpful to hear.
Because no matter what I think is best for them, they know what they want and how they need to take that journey, and just respecting that.
One of the things that you mentioned a little bit ago was about how your mom normalized sort of the process of dying and that death is a part of life. I'm curious how her, or maybe your parents in general, how they influenced the way you live your life now.
So they do. My mom was a women's right advocate before that was a popular thing. So she was always push, 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 go, go, go. So that's definitely influenced everything in my life. My dad was a little more on the soft side of things. You know, he's very emotional, caring man, but also of that generation, kind of stoic, difficult to express feelings. But they have always encouraged me to just do what's right, do what I feel what's right, and to have respect for everybody regardless of where they come from. My parents are very different. My mom is Puerto Rican. And my father is from Ohio, you know, the Appalachian Hills. So there was a very, I've been exposed to a lot of just lots of different people from different backgrounds. And I think that's been very helpful too.
I imagine that's really helpful in your practice of medicine, where you're engaging with patients and families and staff from all different backgrounds. walks of life, all yeah. different experiences.
And to always just be, my mom was always encouraging us to be curious of different cultures, different religions, just everything that was different, not to be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. It's not wrong. Mm-hmm. Or it's just different. Mm-hmm. And so to ask questions, and I've always been curious about just things that everything that I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think curiosity can be such a way of demonstrating respect for people, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to hear from people what their perspectives
yeah,
are.
Absolutely.
So I just as a sort of final question, I'm curious about how you take care of yourself, because this is a very stressful job that you and other APPs have. Whenever I see you all in the hallways, you're always running somewhere. You're very busy, and you have a lot of pressures on you. So how do you take care of yourself?
So I wasn't always good at that.
Uh-huh.
But over the years, I have learned to kind of take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
I have found hobbies. Mm-hmm. I've taken up running mm-hmm. and triathlon and, you know, very physical things. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I like to read.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do crafts. Go out with friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it in addition to that, it's just sometimes to sit quietly
mm-hmm.
and think, do devotionals,
mm-hmm.
Kind of work on my spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel myself getting stressed
mm-hmm.
or I'm better able now to recognize stress behaviors
mm-hmm.
to say, hey, this is getting a bit much for me. I need to step back.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just walking around the building for 5 minutes before I come back
mm-hmm.
and finish what I was doing, or, you know, setting limits
mm-hmm.
where I'm not going to check my email before 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not going to check my email after 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that thing, knowing that people can get a hold of me if it's an emergency,
mm-hmm.
but giving my chance the self to disengage
yes.
from the day-to-day and re-engage with my family.
Yes.
In things outside of work. I love work, but it can, if you let it, it can be all consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good for me. It's
mm-hmm.
not good for the patient. So just acknowledging that, hey, it's time for a little break
yes.
and being empowered and feeling okay with taking it.
Well, I think that's just wonderful, you know, taking time to set those parameters, those boundaries on your work experience so that you have, you know, the rest of the time to be tending to yourself, tending to your family. And I imagine, given your leadership role within Winship as the Associate Chief of Advanced Practice, that now you're able to instill those some of those values into some of the people that you're involved in training.
Yeah, and we talk about that in our lead meetings
uh-huh.
With our different leaders across Winship, that encouraging them to set those limits with regard to answering emails, not become involved in work activities after a certain time or before a certain time, or saying, hey, this weekend I'm going to take totally down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put an out of office on my email
mm-hmm.
replies, and I am going to completely disengage.
Mm-hmm.
supporting that, saying it is one thing, but I think mirroring what we say speaks louder mm-hmm. than just our words. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to do mm-hmm. is show that it's okay to do this mm-hmm. and encouraging others to do the same.
Well, I'm really appreciative of the ways that you're tending to your own wellness. You're tending to your health in terms of your spiritual health, your physical and emotional health. I think that's great for you and also great for our system. And I'm really appreciative of you taking the time to come here and talk with me today about some of these things. And I'm glad that people listening will be able to hear your words as an example and inspiration. So thank you so much, Danny, for being here today.
All right. Thank you, Carolyn. I appreciate the opportunity.